Asha did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. This is the story of healthcare workforce planning in one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, where nursing training places sit empty while wards operate short-staffed and qualified candidates wait years for entry. The work that is going undone is the training that connects people who want to become nurses with the hospitals that desperately need them.
My name is Asha. I'm 32 and I live in Peckham, where I grew up. My parents came here from Nigeria in the 1980s and ran a corner shop on Rye Lane for 25 years. I always wanted to be a nurse, ever since I was 12 and watched my grandmother receive care during her final illness at King's College Hospital. The nurses there were extraordinary. They saw her as a person, not just a patient. They made her feel dignified even when she was scared. I knew then that was the work I wanted to do. I spent 5 years working as a healthcare assistant while studying part-time for my nursing prerequisites. It was hard financially, but I was determined to get the formal qualification. I'd seen how much more I could contribute with proper training, and I knew the NHS needed every qualified nurse it could get. In 2019, I applied to the King's College London Nursing Programme. I had all the qualifications, good references from my workplace supervisors, and real experience on the wards. I thought it would be straightforward. I was wrong. There are only 180 training places available this year, the admissions coordinator told me over the phone. We had 800 qualified applicants. The places are funded by Health Education England, and their budget is set by the Treasury. There is no funding for additional places. It sounded reasonable. There was no money. Everyone understands that budgets have limits. I was disappointed but not angry. These things happen. I applied again in 2020. Same story, same explanation. There is no funding, they said. The Treasury has not increased Health Education England's allocation. We cannot create places we cannot fund. So I took a job at Guy's and St. Thomas's NHS Foundation Trust as a senior healthcare assistant while I waited. At least I could keep working in healthcare, keep learning, keep contributing what I could while I hoped things would change. That was when I started to see the contradictions. In 2021, I was talking to Sarah, a colleague who worked in the education department at Guy's. She mentioned something that didn't make sense. We've got 50 nursing training places sitting unfilled at our South London campus, she said. The trust can't access additional funding to cover the placement costs, even though we're desperate for nurses. The simulation labs are sitting empty. The lecture halls are unused. It's mad. I walked past those simulation labs every day on my way to shifts. They were state-of-the-art facilities, hospital beds with electronic monitors, medication dispensers, everything you'd need to train someone properly. Empty. The lecture halls had whiteboards and projectors and seating for 50 students each. Empty. Meanwhile, I was working double shifts because we were short-staffed on every ward. At the healthcare workers' support group in Camberwell, I met Nkem, who was trying to get onto a nursing program at Greenwich University. Same story everywhere, she said. Lewisham and Greenwich NHS Trust has unfilled training places. South London and Maudsley has unfilled training places. King's College Hospital has unfilled training places. But Health Education England says there's no budget to fill them. I started asking questions. If the training places existed, and the people who wanted to fill them existed, and the hospitals that needed qualified nurses existed, what exactly was it that there was no money for? The buildings were already built. The equipment was already bought. The lecturers were already employed. The NHS trusts were already paying healthcare assistants like me to do work that qualified nurses could do better. The government that prints the pounds and issues the currency was telling me it could not find enough of those pounds to connect the empty training places with the people standing right there, ready to learn. That started to sound less like an accounting problem and more like a political choice. In 2022, I finally got a place. The pandemic had forced the Treasury to temporarily expand Health Education England's budget, and suddenly there were places available. I started the programme in September 2022, 3 years after I first applied. The quality of training was excellent. The simulation labs worked perfectly. The lecturers were brilliant. None of the infrastructure had been the problem, But even as I was studying, I watched the program shrink again. The Treasury returned to pre-pandemic spending constraints in 2023, and the new cohort was smaller than mine. Sarah told me they were leaving training places unfilled again, even though the need for nurses had not decreased and qualified applicants were still being turned away. I graduated in 2024, and I'm working now as a qualified nurse at King's College Hospital, the same hospital where I watched my grandmother receive such compassionate care. I love the work. I'm good at it. But I understand something now that I did not understand when I first applied in 2019. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the training places and the people who needed them. Every day, I work alongside healthcare assistants who could be excellent nurses if they had access to training. Every day, I see the difference that proper qualification makes to patient care. And every day, I know that somewhere in Westminster, someone is deciding that connecting those people to that training is somehow unaffordable for a government that creates the currency it spends. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone with the power to issue pounds says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. The decision to keep it locked was political, not financial.
What Asha experienced has a name: fake experts. This is when institutions cite economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident, as though repeating it makes it true. Think of how tobacco companies once hired scientists to say smoking was safe, or how pharmaceutical companies fund studies that downplay their drugs' side effects. The technique is the same. Find credentialed voices who will validate what you want people to believe, regardless of the evidence. In Asha's story, every time someone said there is no funding, they were invoking unnamed economic expertise that treats a currency-issuing government like a household managing a bank account. Health Education England cited Treasury spending limits as though they were natural laws rather than political choices. NHS Trust spoke of budget constraints as though the government that prints pounds could run out of pounds. The specific objection in healthcare is revealing: economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, facilities, time. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Peckham ranks 105 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in Deprivation Decile 2. The constituency has 881 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £48 million according to 360, giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.